bring us peace. I'm Sherry Ansluis, and I'm going to be leading you in worship this morning. So I want to say welcome to all of you, all of our church family at Winnipeg Center Vineyard. I hope you're doing well. I also want to extend a warm welcome to our guests that are joining us who might be tuning in from across Canada or maybe even around the world. So we want to say welcome and God bless you this morning. It's September already. Can you believe it? We're already in a new season. And it's exciting to be in a new season, although we're not too pleased about winter just around the corner, but that's another story. But we are pleased to know that God is in the changing of seasons. And even though there might be some uncertainty once again within our land and within our country, we know that God is faithful to us and we can anticipate what he's doing in this new season of our lives. So we're going to pray to begin, but before we pray, I just want to remind you to make sure that you get your elements ready because we're going to be taking communion a little bit later. And I also wanted to encourage you in a different way. This last week, Ange Falk had shared on Sunday, and one of the things that she shared that really kind of resonated with me was this idea of meeting God in ordinary time, in our ordinary lives, in our ordinary day. And I know that sometimes when I approach online service, I kind of just sit back. I'm guilty of this too, sit back and kind of just like watch and observe. But I want to encourage you this morning to engage with this time, in this ordinary time. I know you're in your houses, there might be chaos, it might not feel super spiritual, but actually that is spiritual atmosphere, that spiritual place where the Lord can meet us. And so I just want you to turn from your day, if you can, turn from your day, focus this next 20 minutes to the Lord, and let's engage in a way, like open your mouth to sing some words out loud, hum along, just be engaged and engaged in this process, because I feel like there's a blessing in that for us as we do that. And to not be discouraged because we're not meeting together yet. That will come, but in this time, let's use it as productively as possible to meet with our Lord. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the goodness of who you are. I thank you for your protection for us in this season. I thank you for the new things in this season. And I ask you to come inhabit our praises, to come be our God, to come be with us in this time, in this ordinary time, in our homes, in this day. We ask that you come and that you move and be among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come and do. We want to be.
We worship who you are. Come and move in this place.
This is my day. Thank you.
Lord, we sit at your feet. We lay our crowns before you. We sit in your mercy, in your love. And we just say how worthy you are to be worshipped. And we breathe in the holiness. We breathe in your presence. And I ask that as we breathe in your presence, that you would bring us peace. We acknowledge your goodness in Jesus' name. I'm going to pass it on to communion. So God bless you, WCV. Love you guys.
Good morning. We're going to have communion together. And I'll just read our scripture. And then if you want to just take a moment to gather your things, I'll just wait a moment, and if you already have your elements with you, just maybe close your eyes and think back about your week and how you've been feeling, and then think forward to what you hope for as well. So I'll just give us a minute. All right, I'll open with scripture. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I pass on to you what I have received from the Lord himself. On the night that he was betrayed, Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to it for God, to God. And then he broke it into pieces and he said, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took his cup after supper and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people, between God and you, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. And for every time you eat this drink, bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Christ's body broken for you. Christ's blood shed for you. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Becky. And thank you, Sherry. And good morning, WCV. It's great to be together. Thank you for joining us. I got to look around a little bit here because I got to manage a few things. I'm the behind the scenes guy this morning and the upfront guy as well. So that's how it is for this morning. But happy long weekend to you. I hope you're well. Hope you're doing some rest and refreshing, whatever that looks like for you on this long weekend. yesterday, Becky and our daughter Grace and myself, we went on the Hunt Lake Trail. So we hiked 14 kilometers over rock and Canadian Shield and up on cliffs and down valleys. It was really, really fun. It was very exhausting in some ways, but also very refreshing. So whatever it takes for you to be refreshed, I wish that for you. And to, you know, and to be aware as you're doing that of God's presence with you. So that's, of course, a prayerful way to do life. And so we want to do that. So anyways, like I said, my name's Andy. Welcome here. And I've got a few sort of community things going on. I've noticed that there's a few other community things going on as well that aren't like official WCV things, like the Momchilovs had a wedding anniversary this last week, as did the Hazays. So Dan and Deanna Momchilov, congratulations to you guys, and Chris and Marlies, congratulations to you. There might be others. If there are, plop them in the comment section and we can, you know, celebrate together. And John Rademacher, I'm not going to say how old, but yesterday was his birthday. So happy birthday, John. Good on you. And I don't know if there's others, but if there are, let's plop them in so that we are congratulating and celebrating alongside everybody who deserves to be done. So anyways, and you can give your own messages and comments to those three people groups, those five people, for those three different events. How's that? Also, and we laugh with those who laugh and we mourn with those who mourn. And so we just had Kenny Laquette's and Edna Sinclair's funeral on Friday. A beautiful time of remembering and celebrating and laying to rest those two beautiful people, longtime WCVers, especially Kenny. He was one of the very first to give his life to Jesus, and he was mostly on the street at that time. One of the very first drop-in people, one of the very first people to go into the Freedom House when that was going, one of the first Flatlanders when that was going. And so he is very missed, and as is his mom, Edna. And so we had a funeral here on Friday. So just more thoughts and prayers for that family, Kenny's remaining kids and aunts, or his uncles, and I think there's some aunts and some lots of nieces and nephews and grandkids, of course, and kids, and for Edna as well, same thing. Lots of intermingling of the family there, but let's just pray together for them, just for comfort, and especially during COVID when they both passed away, you know, within a month of Richard, who was Edna's husband, and so three deaths within a month, from February till March, and so then we just had to wait until Friday to be able to do that together and to do a funeral together. So, Lord, we ask for your continued blessing and comfort in the midst of loss, and also in the midst of life, like this little new baby Kingsley born in the midst of that family just a month ago. And so all this together, Lord, I just pray for your spirit to be with them and to be on them and to be renewing them and to be comforting them in this time of loss. And for others, Lord, who are feeling the loss in other ways in this season, we ask for your presence to be near them, to be close to them, to be comforting and guiding and just walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, those who are not in that position and who are feeling refreshed, feeling your peace, we thank you for that. And we acknowledge your hand in all things. And invite your presence in all things. Help us, Lord, be a people that are of your presence and are both aware of and welcoming of your presence and activity amongst us. And so for this morning, we ask for that, for us gathered in this way online, that you would help us, that your mercy, your grace would be, you know, reaching through all the connections and the Wi-Fi signals and the zones and be touching us. And be renewing us and filling us and encouraging us and challenging us and healing us and making us more like you, Jesus. this we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so a few things. Next Sunday, this very next Sunday, there's the option to gather in this very place, in these very chairs. And so that'll be our very first in-person distanced gathering since March. So a long time it has been, except for the funeral that was here on Friday, which was in that way a bit of a test run and worked really well. And so we have, you can check out the website for all the different protocols and the precautions and the what we're doing to create a safe and supportive environment for everybody and maintaining the guidelines that have been set out. So just a few quick ones, just if you've been sick or exposed to coronavirus or have traveled recently, then you should not come. And that's just this, that's kind of the general thing for anywhere, but specifically for us too. Just so you know, we're sanitizing the heck out of everything. We've got Jeff Cox, who's our new custodian. Well, he's not new anymore, but he'll be new to you because you won't have seen him because we hired him right at the beginning of this. And so he's just been going through the whole building, literally, for the last 6 months and just doing deep clean after deep clean and then is really on top of the sanitizing and all the different safety precautions, using proper disinfectants, all that stuff. And so everything will be disinfected before and after the gatherings. Various kind of capacity limitations, like 75 people here. We'll have a sign-in list and a check-in with hand sanitization and masks, all that stuff. So kind of the stuff that we probably all become used to, but maybe not used to here in this place. Well, we're going to be doing much of it as well. And then singing, you know, with masks on. And then, of course, distancing within the space as well, and controlled entrances and exits. So it's all like that. And so that's what we're going to be doing. So, but that starts next Sunday, September 13th. And of course, we'll be online here as well. It'll look slightly different, just so you're aware. And we're still working out some of the details in terms of the technical end of things, getting some other equipment, and making that doable and workable for both people in the building, but also if you're online as well. So, and that'll still be facebook.com/Winnipeg Center Vineyard, our Facebook page. So that's it for that. There won't be any kids or youth activities. We are having, though, that same Sunday evening, September 13th, a meeting for parents and or guardians of kids and youth. And so we want to touch base. We want to see where everyone's at, what people are feeling, pray and begin to make some plans. I mean, there are some things already happening behind the scenes, but you know, just kind of get input and see where everyone's at, because there's just we're all over the map. And so you can mark your calendars. And if you don't feel comfortable or can't make that evening meeting, we're going to have a way to input. So you can give there's some specific answers or some specific questions where you can give input onto that. Okay, so that's that weekend. And if you had said you would volunteer for something associated with the in-person gatherings on that survey that we had middle of August, then we'll be in touch this week. Andrew will be working through that. So that's that. Also, house groups. We want to see people in house groups this fall and in this season, more than normal, actually. I mean, they're always a good thing, but in this particular season of isolation, and it feels like we haven't been together, even though we've been together, like we've, you know, like this, but this only goes so far, right? So getting into people's lives, praying for each other, you know, worshiping as we can, and supporting each other, caring for each other, doing the stuff, you know, life on life kind of discipleship that can really best happens when there's some kind of physical proximity. And so we want to see, if you want to be in a house group, we want to help you get into one. So go to the website, wcvchurch.ca, and there's a link there about house groups with a form. Okay, so if you don't know, if you're not in a house group currently, or you don't know how to get in one, then go to and fill out that form, And that will give you some options, and it'll just help us to figure out who is looking for a house group and just kind of a way to help funnel people in the correct directions. Okay. So so go and do that and fill that out. If you're a house group leader or have said in that survey back in August that you were willing to explore being a house group leader or a host, I sent an email this last week. Make sure you get it and fill out the survey there. I need to know what you're doing, what days you're meeting. There's a bunch of different information. It takes 3 minutes, not very long. So just please check your email there and respond to that. Don't put it off to the side. It's just a quick survey, 3 minutes, like I said, and that will help us kind of find out what house groups we have and who can go into where. So. Okay, so there's some actions. If you want to be a house group leader or in a hosting kind of situation, or you need a house group, there's some actions for you, and all is laid out on the website. One of the house groups this year is going to be going through the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality material. And so if you missed that last fall, you can do it this fall. It won't be as big, it'll be smaller, it'll be distance in person. And 8 weeks through October and November. And so that's going to be one of the house groups, one of the options that we're going to be having. So if you want to do that, or if you want to get more information about that, again, go to the website, wcvchurch.ca, and there's a post there about emotionally healthy spirituality, some introduction, kind of goes through a little bit of what you can expect. And there's a on the house group survey part, you can click on that as an option. And if you're interested, we need you to sign up or indicate some interest soon, because we need to order materials for that. So I highly recommend it. I think everyone in the church should go through it at least once. And if you know some friends or other family members or someone else who's been in it, talk to them about it and see. And I just highly recommend it. So anyways. And also, just so you know, in the house groups, we're going to be encouraging every house group except for the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality one to be going and being in sync with our Sunday sermon series, which is going to be this. Going to be the good news according to John. There we go. And so we're going to be doing a deep dive into the Gospel of John for all the fall and the winter, except for Advent, and it's going to be leading us right into Easter. And so the fall we're going to be looking in the first half of John. What an amazing book. What a, like, so multi-layered and intimate and just very beautifully put together, and obviously, you know, calling us to a full life in Jesus. And so I think that it's going to be really great. I think that God's got some amazing things up his sleeve for us in this time, and so that's what we're going to be doing. But we're going to kind of mine it in house groups as well, so it'll be synchronized. So, and there'll be materials provided as well. So if you're a leader, you have here's the thing. You just kind of go through it, minimal prep. So just trying to make it easier to go deeper. Anyways, okay, I think that's everything that I needed to say about that. Great. Okay. I'm just doing a feed check, making sure we're all good here. Everyone's still there? Yeah. Okay. Great. I'm just looking to see if anybody else had any birthdays or anniversaries. I guess not. So. And by the way, if there's anything exciting in your life that you want to share and just kind of be, you know, share, have others share in the excitement, you know, use it. Okay. So let's just pause, or maybe I'll just pause for my own sake. I always feel like announcements, trying to make sure the information and the heart and vision is there, but you know what you need to know and do it within a time frame that makes me talk fast. So anyways, I need to just breathe. So can we do that together? Can we just pray and just become aware of God's spirit, become aware of God's presence in you, in us, in this togetherness, however this is working. And so, and then invite his activity. become aware of his presence and invite his activity. And so, Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thank you. We come to you with openness, with gratitude, with curiosity, with wonder. Help us, Lord, to become aware of your presence. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way in us, in our community, in our interactions with each other, in our relationships with those outside of our community, in our daily lives, in our work lives, in our coming and going, in our working and in our resting, and in this time, in our gathering in this way. We give you the rest of this time. Come, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, well, hey, we're in kind of at the end of this Salt and Light series. Have you enjoyed it? Has it been good? From what I've heard, anyways, from people that I've talked to, it has been good. And from what I've participated in as well, and just talking to the different speakers that have come and gone, it's been really great. And so thank you, everybody, for sharing just the personal kind of nature of how you are being salt and light in your life, and just such great inspiring stories and thoughts and perspectives about the scripture that's based in and how it's applied in your life. And so I was praying, prayerfully pondering what my salt and light sharing should be and what it is from God's perspective, like what he would see. You know, and I felt a whisper, actually. Maybe that's a good way to say it. I felt a whisper as opposed to hearing it. It was just kind of like this soft kind of thing, and it came in two parts. One, it was just surrender. Andy, I want you to talk about surrender. And that's kind of what my life has been like over the last 6 months. That would be a key word. And then last night, as I was watching the post-game show of the Raptors winning and tying the series with Boston, the Boston Celtics, there were one of the commentators, he was talking about how they're just gritty and just like gutted it out and like they're getting better with every game and all that. And they're just kind of sticking to the fundamentals. Sorry, if you're not a basketball person, the Toronto Raptors beat the Boston Celtics and kind of dug themselves out of a 2-0 series hole. Now they're tied 2-2, so now it's a best of three series, so yay Raps. Okay, anyways, but one of the commentators, he said they were persistent and consistent, and then he said a bunch of other stuff, but those two words just like boo, like that to me, right? And there it was. That's the nature of my story, which I'm going to share two parts of it from the last 6 months. Persistent and consistent surrender. Persistent and consistent surrender. I don't know if you saw at the beginning of the year, but there was this little meme or this kind of post that went out there on various social media platforms. Sorry, there we go. And it says this year I want to be more like Jesus. Hang out with sinners, upset religious people, tell stories that make people think, choose unpopular friends, be kind, loving, and merciful, and take naps on boats. I want to be more like Jesus that way. Well, I want to talk about that, taking nap on a boat, in the context of persistent and consistent surrender. So, of course, the taking nap on boats is comes from Matthew 8. And so I'm just going to read that little bit of that story there. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 and following, the next four verses. This is the New Living Translation that I'm using. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. This is after he had just healed a couple of people. One with leprosy and another, the the servant of a commander, and so a Gentile. So then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake, with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The Lake of Galilee was kind of known for these squalls that would just kind of come up out of nowhere, and they could be pretty deadly. Smaller Sea of Galilee, Lake of Galilee, but one of these fierce, Matthew says, storms struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. Just think about that. The waves breaking into the boat, coming over. They're all getting wet. Not just the rain, but the lake water. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up, rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the wind and waves obey him." Well, I don't know about you. I imagine there's some stormy seas in your life, some situations that are stormy. There have been for us too, especially these last, you know, COVID reality. And I want to tell you briefly about two of them, kind of respecting some of the details, but keeping them, you know, not on this format. But then just share a little bit about how they've impacted me. So one story is of our special needs son, whose life really was turned upside down by the fact that one of the things that he gains a tremendous sense of identity and a sense of purpose and sense of significance was totally taken away from him when we couldn't meet anymore and all sporting stuff was canceled. And so those are, of course, would be the Special Olympics. Basketball and floor hockey, his two teams that he loves, his brothers, they've gone to the world, in the basketball, that made it to the national games two times, came in second once, and then 4 years later came in first, just this last 2 years ago or so in Antigonish. Anyways, and I'm not going to go into details really because it's his story, but I'll just say that it's been intense trying to help him through this and trying to work it through and trying to help him understand. And I've come to a place where it's just, I just can't fix this. Of course, I can't fix the external situation and the rules and regulations and all the rest of that stuff. But there's just a certain kind of wall that's just, we just can't shift perspective or help him gain, you know, any, and, you know, there's been lots of, you know, therapy and medication, all this, a bunch of stuff and prayer all underneath it. But there comes in my own dealing with it a place of surrender where I just, there's nothing I can do. Of course, I'll continue to support and encourage and, you know, try to be a good dad and all the rest of that stuff. But in terms of the ability to make some progress, or what I would think of as progress, it's just not happening. And so here's this thing of surrender. What do I do? And so many different techniques and strategies and, you know, and sometimes people just can't shake whatever they're in. You just can't, like, shift them out of their whatever they're doing. And it's saddening, it's frustrating, it's infuriating, it's not right, and there's nothing I can do to change it. So the invitation for me in this has been surrender. And it's not like at the beginning the Lord said, "Okay, Andy, here's this, I'm going to..." No, this is like after the fact recognizing, oh, yeah, that's been the journey that I've been on, one of surrender. and continual doing that, persistent, consistent surrender. Surrender, that is, not resignation. Big difference. Being like Jesus in the boat, as opposed to the disciples in the boat. So the other story, of course, is with Natalie, that our little one. And I've mentioned to it previously or alluded to it various times, but the journey of fostering is a really long and complicated one. I'm not going to tell the whole story. I've done that elsewhere, other times. But really, it just started with a simple yes. 10 years before Natalie was born, actually, it started with a hello in this church. But 10 and a half years ago, started with a simple yes to her and her birth mom coming and us being an emergency placement. And and it was supposed to be a 2-week kind of thing. And that was when Natalie was 3 months old. And it was supposed to be a 2-week scenario, and while they were working on finding another placement and finding family that could care for them. And those 2 weeks turned into 10 years. Of course, there's a lot of details and the journey in the middle of that, but that's a true summary. And of course, and we loved her and treated her, you know, like our own, and loved her as best we could along the way, and treated her with all the love that we had. And really, there have been both gifts along the way and challenges all along the way. And over the past few years, those challenges became more pronounced. Of course, the gifts were still there, but the challenges just kind of seemed to get bigger. And COVID, 18 months ago, the death of her father, biological father, shot by the police, and then some really difficult events surrounding the funeral, just accentuated those challenges, just kind of kicked them up a number of notches. And then, of course, the onset of COVID in this year, just again, just exponential exacerbation of the challenges that she was already having. Really, COVID just amped everything up. And so to the point where crisis units, mobile teams coming in, police calls, just all kinds of traumatic events and therapy and counseling and psychiatrists and psychologists and medication and, of course, prayer throughout it all. Super painful. Not a lot of light, actually. And most of all for her, as a little 10-year-old. And I mean, imagine being 10 and not wanting to live anymore. Not feeling like there was a place for you or that you didn't belong. And like, trauma runs really deep, you know, it's generational. And so, you know, sometimes people would say, well, you had her since she was a baby. And like, yeah. And this pain goes a lot further back than that. And it brought me and us to a place of saying, we can't fix this. There's like, nothing is working. Years of fighting, actually, and advocating and trying to make a difference, trying to fix, trying to help things get just a little bit better. You know that feeling sometimes? Like, just if it could just shift just a little bit. And holding out and all this kind of culminating to, at the end of June, she was removed from our home, which was super painful, like gutting, actually. And so in the midst of this, I felt different temptations. One was to resign. Not like resign, but a sense of resignation, like giving up on her, on you know, like maybe the disciples in the boat there was like this resignation, okay, we're gonna drown. Like, there's that. But how do you give up on what God has given you? I don't know. So surrender isn't resignation. It's not giving up. There's a different quality to it. And I'm also sometimes tempted to fight. And what I mean by that is to fight beyond what is necessary. We could really, you know, go to town on the evils of CFS or the evils of, you know, like there's, and there are evils. There are. There are systems that, you know, put the, you know, and there's spiritual stuff going on and I think that there are some validity in critiquing systems and structures. And there is validity in speaking up to and standing out or standing up to injustice. So surrender isn't like a pushover kind of stance. But if you look at the Jesus way, it is one of surrender, but it's a subversive surrender, isn't it? It's not a giving up. It's not a fighting in terms of how the world might fight. You don't fight with the same tools, the same weapons. But there is a fighting there, but there is also this underlay of surrender. Your will, Lord, not mine. Not that all the bad stuff is God's will. And so if you look at the challenges in your life with the kingdom of God lens, what looks like losing is actually winning. And Jesus is really clear about that, especially in the Beatitudes, which was just before, I think it's just before when he says, be salt and light, where we've taken this passage from. Where like those do not look like winning kind of scenarios. Persecuted? Is that mourning? What? But it's upside down. It's backwards. It's not as we would consider it. And his death, Jesus' death, looked like a knockout punch. Like, you know, down for the count, over and out. But no. No. It's different. And so when we fight with those tools of the kingdom, the subversive, upside down, backwards looking ones. For the disciples in the boat, it looked like certain drowning. It looked like it was game over. That's what they said, right? Don't you care? Look, we're going to drown. I love that song that we've been singing in this last year by Brian Dirksen, Everlasting Arms. We don't know when this fiery trial will pass, but underneath all things, the everlasting arms. That's really true, right? We don't know. There's this sense that we don't know what's around the corner. In both of those situations in my life, in the disciples, they did not expect, I guarantee, they didn't expect what happened to them in that boat after Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. What is it in your life? What storm, you know, like, how is it going to play out? We don't know. But underneath it all, in it all, through it all, everlasting arms of love. And the invitation is to do this, to surrender to it, not resign to it, not give up, but surrender and work with the Lord. To fight, but not fight the wrong fight with the wrong tools. So where in your life are you tempted to resign right now? Are there areas? Where in your life are you just tempted to write people off? Oh, they're too, you know, fill in the blank. Too extreme, too weak, too opinionated, too, you know, left-wing, too right-wing, too conspiracy theorist, too not taking the facts seriously, too whatever, right? Those are all ways of kind of resigning. Where in your life are you tempted to fight or to struggle? And don't get me wrong here, like this isn't a critique against, you know, working for justice. speaking truth. There's a place for all that, and it's good. And I think a lot of it is kingdom work, actually. But there is a point, there is a time where it's coming. Where is it coming from you? Is it coming from a place of surrender, or is it coming from a place of needing to control? And so the answers to these questions, your answers to these questions will, I think, show and highlight where God is inviting you to surrender. So what I mean by surrender, real quickly, it means that we really don't have control over what our life will look like. I don't know what our family's going to look like. Pretty painful, actually. But I know it's not the end. But I know in it, I need to surrender. Surrendering means we can't fix everything. And man, for a fix-it kind of guy, that's a really hard one. I can't. Surrendering means that we need to trust God. Like those disciples in the boat and how Jesus chided them. You don't have any faith, eh? That's a good way to think of it. Trusting God. I don't think they would have drowned. Trusting in his goodness and in his love for us and in his love for those that whom we love. So don't give up. Don't stop fighting, but fight the Jesus way. In both of our unfolding stories, I need to surrender to my natural tendencies to fix things, to resign or fight the wrong fights. And for me, personally, and how I'm being salt and light in this season is that. It's exactly that. Is to surrender to Jesus. In other words, being like letting go of control. Recognizing I can't fix this. I can be faithful, I can do it, I can be loving, I can be caring, I can, you know, I can do and be diligent and persistent and consistent, but with this underlay of surrender, which is can be a subversive surrender, like Jesus showed. Non-anxious, trusting, compassionate, loving, patient, and play the long game. So that's my story. Thanks for listening and participating. I hope it was encouraging for you. This persistent and consistent surrender to Jesus and to his ways. So I'll pray for you, and maybe there's ways that you can pray for those in your life and or your situation, whatever your storm on your Sea of Galilee is. Right now, I don't know. I mean, I know some, but I don't really know. And I'll pray that you would be able to, unlike the disciples, be able to surrender and to ride it out in a non-anxious posture, like Jesus, completely like napping in the boat in the middle of a storm. It's a picture of that surrender. Doesn't mean not doing stuff. It doesn't mean, you know, love is action, right? But from that place of surrender. So, Lord, would you help us? Give us your grace, Lord, and your mercy, like we sang this morning. Would you give us courage and strength to live in these times as ones who are surrendered to you? Persistent and consistent in our openness to you. Help us, Lord, to fight well. Protect us, Lord, from resignation or from giving up. And Lord, we do surrender to you. Jesus, we open ourselves to you, Lord. We open this community to you. Lord, would you come and have your way amongst us? And if you choose to kind of reach out and calm the storm, the wind and the waves, be still, awesome. If you choose to help us ride these waves out, awesome. Your will, Lord, not ours. And we say we trust you. You are trustworthy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Well, WCV, thank you for joining us. And make sure you check all those things out on the website that I mentioned. And next Sunday, you can come here. And by here, I mean either here or here. And may the Lord bless you. And may he keep you. And may he shine his face on you and give you peace. Amen. See you next week.